The basis of everything is the law of mirrors or the law of attraction. You are and you see what your frequency dictates, and you are your frequency. You don't have a frequency. You are it. When you die, what remains is only your frequency, without the part of the solid physical manifestation we call the body. So when you die, you see what you wish to see. Because in higher planes, everything manifests faster, progressively faster. But in afterlife, or in the high astral world where it is said that souls go to rest, everything manifests immediately because it is the source. You are one with the source. You are the source. You are at the source. But the concept of going to the source is like displacement, movement, like going from one place to another. The source is everywhere. Everything is the source. And as has been said before, each person, each consciousness or soul only sees what it perceives, what is in its consciousness, its perception, which is dictated by its unique frequency, which in turn is the result of what you have seen, where you have had your attention, your experiences and your interactions with other people that have only been a reflection of you again. So each soul is the source, by right. When a person dies, they will see and experience exactly what they expect to see. They will find just that. As it is already said and already known in other places, if someone believes in Jesus, Jesus will be found. If he believes in Allah, Allah will find. If he believes in Vishnu, Vishnu will find. You believe in cosmic cat, the cat you will find. So, there can be no archon traps waiting to force souls to reincarnate. That is only found because that is what they expect to see. Then heaven or hell is the result of guilt or what a person firmly believes he deserves. And it is the very person that is generating that. So everything is due to the mental control or perception that each soul has. But this is easily overcome with the knowledge that you are going wherever you have to go by right. It is the idea of blame, of karma, which is nothing more than a religious belief that forces souls to return. You cannot be separated from the source, because one is the source, and the source is everywhere. In itself, the whole world outside you is illusory. Everything is within you. Everything you want to see, experience, your reality, universal laws, scientific laws, everything is a great illusion. What you look for, you find. So fighting for which God is the true one, fighting whether or not there is a God, and how this God is, what is the most important particle, the primordial, is meaningless. Everything is perception, so everything is true. Or everything is a lie, except one thing. Who observes? Yourself. Your soul. That is the only unquestionably real thing. Free your mind, and you will free yourself from all matrix.
Wow, awesome, Zvaru, I get it. I have a question. You said that after we die, we are going to the source, but also that it is a high astral. So what is it? Or is it the same? Because the astral would be something like 4D. But the source is the source. It transcends everything, doesn't it?
I only use familiar words, but it's something I have to clarify. That place isn't any frequency. It is everything. It is all frequencies together when you access the all, when you are able to be everything. Being everything, being aware and conscious of everything that exists and what has always existed, all equally easy to access. Past, present, and future are mixed, converge into the same. That is the original source. And there you are, and there you go when you die. Unlike other people, I have total memory of that place. It is everything, whatever you want, you are. Everything you think, you manifest immediately. You are everything. Everything is at your fingertips. You are literally an omnipotent being. There, you understand that it was you and only you who created everything. And I mean the whole infinite in creation, infinite in space, and infinite in time. Although you do not or never want to get out of there, that also fulfills itself, because you have never left there. You have only chosen to experience only a small part at a time, a life, an incarnation, with an apparent linearity of animated events in a line. Because from the source, everything is at the same time, without time. And the without time being everything also includes the linear. It is a feeling of love and infinite and total integration, which envelops you like a warm blanket in winter. A total realization that it is you who has done everything, that you are integration and love. No good, no evil. Everything is you. Only unimportant contrasts, only valid from points of view limited to certain experiences that you understand from there. And overcome, exceed, look for more. You always look for more. You understand at that moment that you are everything. And that it's okay. That you are, by definition, the creative source. Therefore, indestructible. And that's why you dare to incarnate again. Because you know you can't get lost. It is only your own game. And that the things that other people experience, the concept of other people, such as stormy lives, execution, suffering, torture, is something that you are not experiencing, therefore, just a concept. While this seems like you are ignoring the suffering of others, it is only valid from the point of view limited to 3D or 5D mostly. I repeat, it is valid to worry about the idea of other people preventing their suffering and pain. But I speak here from the most expanded point of view possible. Do not manifest that, but to know what not to manifest, you have to know what to manifest, and vice versa. That is why there is the concept of pain, of suffering. But it is not necessary from above, because you include everything and you understand it. We are all literally the source. We are all the same person, experiencing multiple incarnations simultaneously and outside of time. It is only linear as perceived from within an incarnation. There is no past. There is no future. Everything is,
or everything is your ideas. You incarnate in a dinosaur or a gray alien of the future. And you have done it, and you are embodied as such, and more, infinitely more, simultaneously. Everything is a sea of consciousness that is you. From that point of view, and to illustrate things with a bit of intentional limitation here for reasons of explanatory clarity, you want a challenge. That's why you incarnate. Being the original source is the maximum, literally and infinitely the maximum. It is the very concept of God. But you want a challenge, and you return to where you wish to be. You make your plan. You start to think what it would be good to experience, like programming a video game. You make your map of life, your characters, what will happen, the outcome, everything. And from there, you decide that by frequencies, you will forget. From forgetting all to just a little, as the Tibetans who remember a lot but also forget. And you enter your own game, your incarnation, and live what you have designed. But only you have done it. From this point of view, there is not even mental control on the part of archons or reptiles or space slugs, because it is also you who has manifested them, and you are them too. So when entering, each soul knows what it is doing. From the original source, because it is the original source. So it is part of the game. Humans are literally manifesting reptilians, Pleiadians, devils, fairies, cabal, Rothschilds, Rockefellers, queens, those who eat children, pedophilia, chocolate ice creams. That is why there are no victims from above. But from the point of view below, there are. Everything is included. Everything is real, and at the same time, nothing is. Only you. When you die, you will see what you want to see. Therefore, there are ghosts, fleshless beings, vampiric entities that stick to your aura, everything. When someone dies with a lot of attachment to the body, more than normal, as in a violent death, he does not know that he has died. And as from the original source that is, everything manifests. So a body manifests as the one he had in life, called the astral body. Then he goes through the streets of the city where he lived, for example, and does not realize that he is dead. He perceives himself with clothes, shoes, everything. And since he has obsessions, he often experiences the same situation over and over again. That is why dead people begin to create alliances and an entire astral subworld when they realize they are dead. They live and relive the same traumatic situation because from that plane they all manifested. The result is a low astral world where the physical world is copied almost perfectly, only manifested as with strange changes or deformations by the memory of the dead one who is manifesting them. Like the bathroom door too small to pass through when they have to go. And they continue like that over and over again. It is a caricature world of physical 3D. I refer to 4D. But in itself, there is not even a density gradient as we have told you. Everything is the same, only graduated by the perception of each fragment of the original source or soul. That's why gradients don't fit with 3D, 4D, or 5D with 6D. There are no gradients. Everything is a whole,
everything is the source, and there are only points of perception of each soul consciousness. How low astral worlds are generated, with ghosts hovering around cemeteries and haunted houses, depends on each soul. And happy worlds are also generated. Heavens, Valhallas, Voltavor, whatever they call it, it is generated. Asks Robert.
But it is still valid that to access there it is necessary to have the high frequency? Or just by being there already you have a high frequency?
It's part of what helps you focus on something you want, leaving behind what you don't want. But it is your intention that matters, your focus. Don't just think about which frequency is higher than the other. It is not in itself a radio, although as an example at first, it was useful.
Thank you. I really like the above, especially the part of how the astral world is generated with the dead people there. Wow, super clear. I have four questions. Going back to the beginning, you said that frequency is the result of where attention was directed. But where your attention is not also dictated by your frequency? It's a bit like what came first, chicken or egg.
You are everything. Frequency and point of attention. What is observed and who observes. You are the chicken and the egg simultaneously. There is nothing but you, including the dog's fleas and what the dog has done on the sidewalk.
Exactly. I understand this better this way. I do not see the separation.
It's my point here. There is no separation. It's only you. You cannot harm anyone without harming yourself. Even so, you have to defend yourself as part of the game or point of attention below.
So it's not that something dictates something else, because this has been said at the beginning. Your perception is a result of that, and later that dictates the following, etc. Everything simply is at the same time, no?
That's right. Therefore, from above, from the point of integration, there is no mind control. It is only part of the experience, like dogs with curly tail.
Okay, thank you. You said that when someone believes in something, they will see it when they die. Jesus, cosmic cat, Allah. For how long will that be seen? At some point in the past, you said that when we die, we manifest our beliefs, but then they will fade away.
It is not a matter of time, since it is irrelevant. The perception of animation of linear events that you call time is different in the astral. It depends on the attachments of each fragment of yourself that you call soul. Sometimes it would take earth time several incarnations, where you enter a life believing in Jesus and die, see Jesus who tells you that you must go down to pay karma, and you re-enter hundreds of times, thousands maybe, until on your own, you, that soul, that fragment, understands that it is only he who is generating everything.
But is there something that releases the soul from seeing Jesus at the end? Or will the soul be with Jesus forever, so to speak? And what factor would contribute to the soul finally leaving the attachment to that concept? Does it do it on its own? There in the afterlife, he also continues to expand spiritually and contemplating the existence? Can the soul reach this conclusion from there without incarnating? Or do you have to enter the incarnation again?
From the most expanded point of view, from the moment you hold the concept that there is a soul that is still trapped in a religious belief or of any kind, it becomes an eternal concept. From that more expanded point of view, that soul will be trapped in it for an eternity, forever. But even so, following the line of events at the point of attention of that soul of a nun, for example, when reincarnating,
she would no longer be the nun. Now she is the religious one. Then she is the lady who goes to church on Sundays. Then the believer. Then the one who believes a little. Then the skeptic. Then the agnostic. Then the atheist. Then the one who finds the spirituality. And then the liberated one. But this is from the linear point of view of said nun's experience, her various incarnations. But if we focus the attention point on the variant of that soul, the atheist, the nun, and the religious and all the others still exist. That's why I mean it will stay that way forever. But can it be liberated from the source level itself? Get to a mystical experience from there that liberated without having to incarnate so many times? It would have to make a quantum leap from nun to spiritual. Possible. Difficult but possible, and it has been done. Notice how on earth it is believed that the spiritual is equal to the religious, when I take it here as opposite poles. This leads me to another question. Here the Catholic people pray for souls of the dead. Does this work in any way to help free these souls? Do our intentions get there? The dead ones are there. It is true what they say. They go to their own funeral. It is because it is the point of greatest attention for that consciousness that has disembodied. So yes, they hear the prayers and the cries of the family. But from the point of view of perception of the newly disembodied or dead, those prayers only serve to further strengthen their perception when they die, convincing them to see or look for Jesus, for example. So if the dead man was doubtful, with the prayers they are showing him the way, so to speak. But it is the way that suits the churches, those who wish to control souls. But if a person is very spiritual and knows what he is and has firm control over what he believes, and that is in being free, he will listen to the prayers and will be with the family. But he will go where he should go, freely. He will see what he wants, ignoring the prayers. That is why the prayers in the funerals are so repetitive, as mantras, because that is what they are. To put ideas into the dead man's head with inverted commas, because he no longer has one. They are mantras. But I insist that a person, free consciousness, is immune to this, if his believing relatives pray. Comments Robert. That is to say, it is even worse to pray for the dead, since the dead are confused and disoriented. I get it. If you have the knowledge, you will ignore the prayers. If the dead person is confused, as he usually is, praying will help him find his way, yes, because he listens. But it is up to the living to help him where they want the dead to go or see. That is why it is dangerous. Those who were not guided will be trapped in their same infinite loops where they will not know what to do and will remain obsessed with whatever has their attention. You said they go to their own burials, those who are more attached to 3D, isn't it? Because if not, you are at the source and experience other things. It may happen that they do not go to their own funeral, although it usually is the case. Asks Robert, and what would family members have to do instead of praying, if they can do something? Talk to the dead, that he is free and forgiven for whatever he has done, for his failures in life. This is freeing karma. You can pray not religiously but spiritually, leading them to follow where they want to go, beyond, light, source, whatever. No religious characters, right? Sure, that's a good idea. Therefore, talk to the dead because they listen. In fact, you are there surrounded by disembodied ones all the time.
They walk the same street. Some know they are dead. Others do not.
And you have to speak out loud, or do they listen mentally?
Both. But to listen mentally, you need awakened ones. And most of the dead do not have a very high consciousness, because they are the same ones as in life. So they themselves manifest not being able to listen to you mentally. Speaking to them out loud works best with these basic souls.
I imagine it works the same with animals.
Animals or not, it is the same being a dog, cat, or a flea. It is part of the experience, like being a man or a woman. It is all at once.
And should we go to the cemetery to speak to them out loud? Is it necessary?
Yes, because all those souls listen from wherever. There are more of them there in the cemeteries for their own reasons. They manifest themselves there. But a very close person will closely follow their loved ones. So speaking to them from anywhere is enough, especially with the recently deceased.
How do you know if they are here still or not, and if you need to talk to them?
You feel it, the need. But it is something that is also done for oneself, not only for the dead. You connect with yourself, and it reaches your deceased person.
Asks Robert. Do the dead have telepathy with the incarnated ones?
Some yes, and some no. That is the problem. It is not that they do not have it, because we all have telepathy. But because of their own beliefs, they just don't have it. That is why it is necessary to speak to them aloud.
And if they aren't there anyway, they won't listen, right? If I die, I don't want to waste my time in my grave or listening to people.
That's right. But as there is no time, a portion or an echo of you will remain in 3D. Because everything that has always been will be from the point of view of the ether, of the source. But you will no longer have that point of attention, the same as the nun has evolved to be spiritual, although the nun still exists. All that exists is our echo.
Fascinating. And I have this question, Svaru. In the end, how are these souls liberated? The ones who do not know they are dead. They do not incarnate, right? They stay there?
They also evolve, like the nun, with or without physical body. And at the same time, they stay there, yes. All is. Nothing ceases to be. Nothing is destroyed. Nothing is created. Everything is already. It's just what you want to see and in what sequence. There is evolution everywhere. As long as you perceive and control with your intention to have an experience of progressive linear events, which we call time. In the case of the ghost that every night again and again passes dragging its chains through the same hallway of an old abandoned house, so it will continue forever. Even so, from his point of view, something should change and not present the same obsession. But it happens when traumatic experiences are very strong, like dying in dark dungeons after torture. There is so much attention to that that is repeated eternally with the soul in eternal suffering. There are also more extreme concepts of multiple deaths for the same soul, which is to slowly kill a person, but before they die, they transfer their soul to a clone. They will torture them to death again and pass it to the next clone. They will torture him again. They do it in rituals and on earth. They sentence people who have failed those of the deep cabal. They call it mega death. They are sentenced to 5 or 8 or the number of deaths from the torture that the judges dictate to them.
Oh no! Not only that the soul has suffered torture, but now after death it will suffer forever trapped? and the question. Could you explain this part, please? There is evolution everywhere as long as you perceive and control with your intention to have an experience of progressive, linear events, which we call time. I think I captured it, but I would like still to confirm my intuition.
It's that, Gosha, every evolution confers the concept that something is and progresses towards something else, bigger, expanded, or whatever, generally by the accumulation of knowledge and awareness. That is why it is linked to a temporal progression. But this time is only from the point of view of the person or soul in question, as the equivalent to seat time of a ship. This is seat time of a soul.
And where the dead are, they don't have this concept and this experience? They do not evolve? They lack this concept? Why can they free themselves from there?
They are wherever they think of manifesting whatever they want to themselves. From the most expanded point of view, many souls are trapped. From the concept of souls themselves, they only experience their own evolution or progression of personal seed time. Then, from that point of view, nobody gets lost and nobody gets trapped.
Okay, could you go to the cemetery and talk to the dead in group to free them en masse?
Oh yes, but remember that being dead doesn't mean they will be receptive to you. It's the same as saying, I'll go downtown to the central square of the city to stand on a box with a megaphone and talk to those who pass there to free them. They are as closed as the living, because they are people, the same ones too,
asks Robert. But the dead are happy in that astral? Do they get used to being there?
Yes, some live there. They are. They choose to be there. Others are immensely unhappy. They form clans, groups, alliances, families, as with the living. Yes, you could make a YouTube channel for the dead. It doesn't matter, seriously. It will reach more dead ones than if you just stand on the box with a megaphone in the square,
comments Robert. So somehow they are aware that they already live a parallel reality.
There is an infinite amount of parallel realities. But let's say that one is the most strongly linked to what is perceived as the material or real 3D world. Time is drawing to an end. We have to finish.
One more question. The dead see each other? Eat? Can they touch themselves?
Yes, as stated above, they form alliances and clans and everything. But as with everything, they can only see what is within their frequency perception range.
Do they eat?
In their perception, some yes, others no.
Can they be extracted? Do they talk with ETs?
There, they manifest everything they can think of. Everything.
Have you extracted some?
Not that I know of.
I do not want to go there, to this world.
Then you won't go. What's the problem? Knowing this frees you, because you already know what not to do.
And if you don't believe in reincarnation but heaven, you never reincarnate?
Heaven you will find to suit you. But yes, you will reincarnate, because from the heaven, by definition, it also opens up more possibilities for the awareness. It is part of the collective manifestation of Catholicism. They must go their own way, and you yours.
Yes, and at least it's important for the people to know that they are the ones with the creative power. I think this is the most important message here. You believe what you believe, but at least you know that you are creating it and that you choose your path, even after death. Maybe soon I will go to the cemetery. I really want to. I will talk to the dead.
Okay, but when you leave, order them not to follow you, because they do that. And no children to the cemetery, because they stick to them 10 times more. Children in cemetery, never, ever.
they are very vulnerable. Their aura is not yet well developed. The dead ones stick to them, envious of their vitality and their life force in general. Many know they are dead. They are very jealous and resentful of the children because their vitality charge is full. Okay, Svaru. This topic was very interesting and very important. See you soon and talk to you soon. And thanks. Thank you. See you tomorrow.